Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And a very happy new year to all of you listening, our first podcast of the year.
Woo!
And what better way to kick off the new year than a review of one of the biggest films of 2015? Was released a couple of... not Star Wars. You got one letter right. Spectre, new James Bond film. You might be wondering why because we've both seen it. We've both seen Spectre and was therefore a suitable candidate.
We thought better than a movie that neither of us had seen.
It's a principle that we've used for most of the podcast.
We have the notable exception of The Lorax.
Well, sans any new Lorax films, we thought we'd continue the trend into 2016. It's a Bond film. Are we a fan of Bond films in general?
Not particularly, but I really like the last one.
Yeah, I kind of like Bond films. I've probably only seen maybe half of them or just over half of them in total. In terms of, I guess, the new series with Daniel Craig and... I guess how many of them has Sam Mendes directed?
An amount. Keep talking, I'll fact check it.
Well, out of the Daniel Craig films, I really enjoyed Casino Royale. I thought Quantum of Solace was pretty average. I liked Skyfall, but I think in general people liked it maybe a little bit more than me. I thought the ending made most sense. So, Spectre, I wasn't super pumped for it, but I thought, it's a Bond film, I'll go see it. I'll go see any Bond film.
Yeah, Sam Mendes just directed Spectre and Skyfall.
Well, there you go. So he's one for one so far.
Yeah, and we talked about how it righted the wrong, or the downward trend of his directorial history. Which had gone American Beauty, Road to Perdition, Jarhead, Revolutionary Road, and Away We Go. It's just like
That's a pretty steep cliff.
Yeah, so Skyfall righted the ship.
Yeah, I think my favourite thing about Skyfall was that Adele song.
Skyfall! I don't know if that's how it
I feel like that's the only lyric, really. Like, the whole song is like, Skyfall, Skyfall. But I like it. Good song.
Skyfall. So, it won the Oscar. Won the Oscar, the best song.
Who did this one?
I think that's Sam Smith character.
You know what? See, on Christmas... there was a special little Christmas present, a gift, to anyone that opened up Facebook that day from Radiohead. They announced that they had actually been contacted to do the theme song for Spectre. And for whatever reason, it hadn't worked out. But they put up the song for everyone to listen to on SoundCloud. And it was killer! I'm a massive Radiohead fan. And I thought,
yeah.
I can't imagine... well, I know Sam Smith's pretty popular. People like him too, but... man, go check it out.
Did you think the song in this movie was killer?
I thought it was fine, but I thought Adele's was classic, and Radiohead's one of my favourite bands of all time, so it's a tough, stiff competition there for Sam Smith.
Yeah, it was underwhelming at best.
Yeah. So the film itself... because you've probably had a chance to see it. We thought we'd talk about some of the things that went on. So we'll quickly give you our patented spoiler alert.
Woo! Now we can mention spoilers from the film.
Yeah, does that also mean we can... oh, never mind. like, what else would that give us permission to do?
We can only spoil that movie, though, I think. I don't think we can spoil, I don't know, Star Wars.
Alrighty, so
let's go. What's the premise? How does this Spectre kick off?
So Bond, he's in Mexico. Day of the Dead celebrations going on, so that's rather colourful. It's like he's tracking someone. Goes to, I guess he's 00. That's what he does. He kills people. He's going to kill someone. Whole building explodes. Mayhem ensues. Kind of like chase scene through the parade. Ends up getting into a helicopter with this guy. There's a crazy fight scene in a helicopter. Helicopter spinning around. Got to right the helicopter before it crashes. It was off to a classic James Bond fight chase scene action adventure explosion bonanza.
It was pretty good.
I liked it.
Yeah. They're wearing skeleton costumes at one point. That's sort of fun. They're fighting a helicopter. You've got crowd of people there. Do you think he's a bit... Like, here's the thing with James Bond, though. No one ever dies. Like, no civilians ever die in James Bond, do they?
He would be a PR nightmare.
Yeah.
It's like... That was probably the one interesting thing of the film Hancock, I guess, that asked the question, you know, there's this superhero that gets in all these crazy fights and does stuff around the city. Basically, it's just causing millions of dollars worth of damage. Like, surely Mexico City is like, we spent all this money on a lovely Day of the Dead parade, and then you come in here and trash the joint.
Yeah. Like, he wiped out a whole block worth of buildings, I think. And, like, just no civilians were in any of those buildings. Like, it's like, yeah. I also thought, like, the one gripe I have is I feel like they could have ended the scene better. Because you know how it begins? He's taken a girl up to the hotel room, right? He's in his skeleton costume. He takes the girl up to the room. And then he goes to kill this guy. And he goes, I'll be right back. Then he, like, runs out and does all the thing. I thought it would end with him coming back to the hotel room after that massive helicopter thing in Australian City go, and, like, you know, like, he goes, just starts kissing her, I guess, and he probably doesn't say anything. And you're like, oh, how smooth. Like, he's done all that stuff. She has no idea. And he's just, like, he's popped out for the bathroom or something.
Just parks the helicopter on the roof.
Yeah.
Slides down a rope back onto the balcony.
Yeah. Yeah. Dusts off his suit, walks on in.
I like it. The thing about the start that I guess ended up seeing a little bit disappointing was that I think that was the only time where you saw the costumes, right? Like the skull. Because that's in all the posters.
Yeah.
Are you disappointed that Christoph Waltz, who is the main villain, didn't end up being like the Skeleton Man or something, and that was his thing throughout the whole film, that he was always wearing a skeleton mask?
Yeah, I think that would be cool. Yeah, and it's in all the posters. You got this skull motif introduced at the beginning. I think it would have been good to keep with that. And then the ring James Bond gets. James Bond steals the guy's ring when he's kicking him out of the helicopter. And that has, like, a octopus on it. And then the, like, whole Sam Smith song has all these octopuses swimming around. And then you never see an octopus in the film. It's like Christoph Waltz has an octopus in his tank or anything like that. Like, I think he should have been the Skeleton Man or the Octopus Man. But he wasn't like an anything man. The Christoph Waltz Man.
Well, tips for the sequel, I suppose. James Bond, he gets back after all this destruction. Ralph Fiennes, who's a new M, seeing as Bond failed to save M in the previous film.
Debacle.
He's not happy. He says, you're not to do any more solo missions. And Bond's like, okay. So they go to, well, he sends him to Q to go, put something in his blood that's going to track him. Luckily, Bond is friends with Q and just says, well, don't turn it on for 72 hours.
Yes.
That's like I get arrested for something and sent to house arrest, but you're the guy that works at the jail that clips on the ankle bracelet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, just give me 72 hours, Matt.
Like, oh, yeah, this is my first day at the ankle bracelet shop. It might not work for the first 72 hours. But after that, I'll know exactly where you are, Jono.
I feel like even later in the film, it was well past the 72 hours. They had Hugh just go, oh, the system connection, it's a bit rough. Let me turn it off and on again. We'll see if we can...
At one point, Ray Fiennes just calls Q and says, where is he? And Q's just like, oh, Chelsea. Doesn't even matter if it's working or on or not, because Q's the guy they call to ask where he is.
There's no computer system. It's not like he logs into the MI6 system. He can't just check on his phone or his laptop. He just calls Q. Hey, Matt, where's Jonathan? Oh, he's at the chicken shop. He's getting some chicken. Oh, dear.
I love how long it took. Q's like staring at the Austria thing on the map going, oh, no.
Don't say Austria. No. Don't say Austria.
And then he figures out, oh, wait, I can say whatever I want. No one else is looking at the screen.
A lot of trust in Q. He comes through for Bond. So he hooks him up with some goodies, as usual. And then Bond...
Well, just to watch, really.
Yeah, well, he gets a cool car, I think, as well.
Well, later on. The car was for... So James Bond goes in, and he's like, oh, look at this nice car. And James Bond is like, oh, sweet. And then Q goes, unfortunately, because of your Day of the Dead shenanigans, we're having to give it to 009, so you don't actually get this, here's a watch. And then the next day Q comes in, and someone goes, oh, 009 just rocked up to take that car, I hope that was cool. And he, like, runs up, and, like, the car's missing, and he's like, oh, Bond! What kind of, like, place is this that, like, you just... Like, you just say, oh, yeah, I'm 009. Yeah. I'm here to get the car. You're like, oh, yeah, sounds right, yeah. Let me get the notes. Yeah, that was for 009. Good job. Don't worry about the ID.
That has all the security of the local restaurant. It's like, yeah, we have a 7:30 reservation for the Smith family. Yep, that's us. We're the Smiths. Oh, yeah, it seems about right.
Come on right through.
Yeah, can't imagine somebody else saying they're the Smiths.
Yeah. That would be lying. So he gets the car, he gets the thing, and he goes to Rome because this whole Dawn of the Dead thing, because the his partner, I think from the last movie, comes and says, you're up to something, Bond. He's like, no. And then she goes, you can't trust anyone, can you? He's like, oh, okay. I'll play you the video Em sent me from her grave. And it's that you got to find this guy, you got to kill him, and you got to go to the funeral. And that's pretty much all she says.
Mm.
So he goes to Rome where the funeral for the guy he kicked out of the helicopter is.
Yeah, that's... a tough sell as well. Because you think, out of all those people at the Day of the Dead, you know, and all the bad guys and something, someone might have got a glimpse of who Bond was.
Yeah.
You know, if I feel like if I killed you, your family wouldn't want me showing up at the funeral.
Mm.
But I get, maybe this is honesty system. No, not Jonathan. And Gary, yeah, I see the resemblance, but not just a friend come to pay my respects to someone that I definitely didn't murder.
Yeah, because you think with so many people at the Day of the Dead thing, and this is what I was thinking at the time, this is, like, going to go viral. Like, there's definitely YouTube videos of the fight on the helicopter.
I've never been to the Day of the Dead festival, not sure what it's like in Mexico, but I feel like that would be noteworthy.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's the annual helicopter almost crashes into all the buildings part of the evening's festivities.
Yeah.
Which
I imagine would get filmed and put on YouTube anyway, just because of how people are. Like, at Disneyland, they've got the same fireworks show with Mickey Mouse jumping out every day. But I think every day, people are filming that and uploading it to YouTube.
So, Bond, of course, goes to the funeral, and the guy has a rather attractive wife. That's the bonus for Bond.
And Bond is like, this is why M wanted me to go to the funeral, to the wife.
She thought, look, Bond is probably going to be a little depressed after I die. He's probably going to need a girl to take his mind off things. I tell Bond to kill this guy, so she'll need someone to take her mind off things. It's the perfect setup.
Funeral? Oh, you Cupid, yeah. Little matchmaking.
You grim Cupid. So she's like, oh no, you're going to get me murdered, but... And he lets those people... He lets her walk outside, and those two guys walk up right behind her, just about to execute her, and then he kills them, I guess just for dramatic effect. And then, what does he get out of her?
She tells them where they are having... Oh, tells him where they are having the meeting to replace her husband.
Hmm.
So, obviously she tells him this while they're making love.
So this is the Octopus group. He was a member of it. Bond's now got this ring. I guess, yeah, is this the honesty system again? How does it get into the place?
Well, he walks into the meeting. And I think, answer the question after you, like... Christoph Waltz knows exactly what's going down. He wants Bond to be there late, so that's why I think they just let him in. But at the time, I don't know why Bond isn't thinking about this more. Like, oh yeah, just rock up, just walk around the back. Like, he does not look inconspicuous at all, James Bond. Like, everyone standing there still observing this meeting. He's walking around, he's, like, getting a better seat, he's, like... You know, like, looking at... he does not blend in with the rest of the crew. So I don't know how he's imagining he's coming across.
He gets through security. They're like, who are you? And I'm like, I've got the ring. Because it's not like one of their guys recently died and may have lost his ring. So they're like, oh, yeah, he's got the ring. He walks in. He's like, which... Who is it? Do I go left or right again? I've been here like two or three times. Okay, yeah. And so they're going to go and they're going to talk, and we just sort of stand and watch. Okay. Where's the best place to view that again?
Yeah. This is the least smooth, like, James Bond scene I've probably ever seen in, like, trying to, like, crash this meeting.
So, yes. Some guy claims that he is he's ready to take the position of someone else.
Yeah.
And then Batista, who from the WWE.
Right, not from Dexter. He's going, was Batista in this? Oh my gosh.
He'd definitely never catch Bond.
Yeah, I couldn't catch Dexter.
So Batista says, oh, I would also like the position, and I'm going to murder you with my thumbs.
Very The Mountain Game of Thrones move.
Yeah. So he gets the position, and then Christoph Waltz basically says, oh, hey, Bond. Are you enjoying the show?
Yes.
And, geez, of about... How many people's in that room? Like 200?
Yeah.
No one manages to stop him. No one manages to hit a single shot. Bond is sort of like the roadrunner of that room. Manages to make yet another daring escape.
Gets in the car he stole, and there's a pretty fun car chase through Rome.
Yes. That was pretty good, actually. Because not only did he steal, like, you know, the million-dollar, or millions of dollars, like, brand-new concept MI6 car with all the gadgets and stuff. He uses it in this epic car chase, and then in order to get out, just ditches it into the river as he ejects just at the right time and then floats safely down in his parachute.
Looked very smooth. Very, very, when he landed and the parachute just dropped off behind him. Like, that looked really cool. You know how I started driving this year, Jonathan?
Do you have any similar stories?
Yeah, well, I had my first car incident the other day.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I was at DY Beach, just at breakfast, and I, reversing out of my spot, scraped the car next to me.
Ooh. Did you run? Did it turn into a high-speed chase?
No, well, some lady thought I was trying to. Some lady ran up to the car and said, "You're trying to run away!" I'm not. I'm just trying to figure out what to do.
This is already a very stressful situation, and you're just adding to it.
I'm like, "Do you have a pen and paper I could borrow?" She's like, "No." And then, like, 5 minutes later, she came back and go, "I found a pen and paper. I've written a note for you." And, like, it said, like, "This man tried to run away."
Thank you, but I don't think I'm going to leave this note. I'm going to leave another one.
Well, what can you do? Like, I can't, like, rip up her note. What's she going to, like...
I think this is another situation just based on the honesty system. You're like, "Hi, my name is Jonathan Cook. I accidentally scratched your car. Here is his address in America if you would like to contact him."
Well, I've just had breakfast with my friend Bass, who's a lawyer, and I called him.
He's like, "First of all, did anybody see you?"
Yeah.
My first car incident was a guy that hit me, reversed into me. We both get out the car. There's a massive dent in my side door, and he tries to claim, "No, that must have already been there. Look at the height of my car. Look at the height of your car. It wasn't me."
Oh, that's good.
It's like, well,
not good, but like, it's a good story.
I was like, "Well, when there was that bang, my car rocked back and forth, and there was then a massive dent in the door. It might have been an earthquake. I can't rule, say beyond a reasonable doubt that you definitely did reverse into me." So that was a tough one to win.
Yeah. Oh, that's man. It was. And I've just got to make sure that, like, the other side of this person's car that I scraped is scraped much worse. So I've got to make sure she doesn't claim that I did the other side. due to my legal advice, I took some photos of the damage. There's a tip, guys.
Right. So, Bond escapes, and what's the next step in his plan? He noticed he's to go see some guy. How does he know to see this guy?
The guy's in Austria. So, he calls his friend in the agency, and she says, "Oh, I did some Googling. He's in Austria now." So he just rocks up to Austria and finds the guy's house. So
that's a pretty sweet gig if you're Sam Mendes. You go, where would I like to go this year? Oh, I've never been to the mountains in Austria. Hey, whoever's making this movie. Paramount, yeah. The bad guy that now lives in Austria. Yeah. Never been to Mexico. We need to, the guys at the start, they're going to be in Mexico. You just travel around with, all of this could be done in the one country. There's no need for it. Then you just want to go travel. Just want to go see the mountains or the desert or.
Yeah. So like, oh, I've never been to Mexico for Dawn of the Dead before. I'd love to go for that. And Paramount's like, well, we can only go in July. That's not when Dawn of the Dead is. He's like, right, we're setting it on Dawn of the Dead now. We'll make our own Dawn of the Dead. We'll get the parade going. Like,
see, it's called Day of the Dead. And you said Dawn of the Dead. I'm like, I'm not going to bother correcting it. But then you said Dawn of the Dead another six times.
Whatever, I've never been to Mexico for Day of the Dawn or whatever it is. So, very good. So anyway, it goes to Austria. There's some old guy there. Seems like there's a bit of a backstory or something. Not particularly interesting. Long story short, the guy's got a daughter who might know where Christoph Waltz is. So Bond promises to protect the daughter if he tells him where the daughter is. The guy agrees eventually and then shoots himself because he's going to die anyway because people are coming for him.
So he goes and finds the girl
in some amazingly lavish therapy center on a mountain.
Yeah, most therapists are pretty expensive. What are you paying per hour for that view?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
And he seems to go a decent way into the thing before revealing why he's there. Don't know why he couldn't be just like, hi, I made this appointment, but really, I'm here to save you. I guess we just wanted to, ooh, what does the therapist think of Bond?
Yeah.
And she doesn't not like much. Him.
Yeah.
She tries to get away, and this inevitably turns into a pursuit down the snowy mountains. And that was pretty exciting. It's always fun to see those people on those, what are they called? It's kind of like a jet, like a snowmobile. Those things are always pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cool. So they're zipping down the hill. So they kidnap the girl and go down, which actually you think, oh, this is pretty good because she didn't seem that interested in Bond. But if he saves her from these guys, she'll probably be on board with the plan.
That's the first step in the Dennis system. Demonstrate value.
Yeah, yes.
She gets kidnapped. I rescue her. That's my first step in Dennis from It's Always Sunny Philadelphia's system to winning her over.
And then he's got a plane all of a sudden. I don't know where he got the plane from. Just all of a sudden just Bond rocks up in a plane.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, normally it's pretty exciting seeing snowmobiles go down a mountain. Now we've got this entire plane sliding down a mountain. So that was pretty good in terms of just the action sequence there. Don't know how much money they spent on. Well, I guess they're just log cabins. It's easy to knock down a few log cabin or two.
Again, no one in any of the cabins.
No
civilians.
I guess it wasn't ski season. I mean, there was a lot of snow, but.
And there were a lot of skiers going into the the chairlift type thing that Q was in.
Yeah, this is the residential side of the mountain. Yeah. All the houses are empty because everybody's on the skiing side of the mountain.
Yeah. Anyway, so he saves her. Long story short, and he goes, "Now you got to take me to meet this L'American." She goes, "It's not a person. It's a place." Whoa! Sorry, Bond had been working on the wrong assumption!
You'd be good at choosing categories on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
So, and the whole time she's like, I'm not going to let you bang me. It's not going to happen.
And it doesn't for quite a while. Like,
it's a very restrained Bond, Inspector. So, yes, they go to the hotel. I don't know, he finds the secret room or whatever.
There's some information about where Christoph Waltz is, I guess.
He's in Morocco. Sam Mendes wanted to go to Morocco.
Yep.
It's like, there's a crater. You know what sounds cool? Having a secret hideout in a crater that you can just sort of go to.
And it makes sense with all the squid and skeleton motifs we've seen earlier in the film, that the final showdown happens in a crater in Morocco.
So they go there, and
it's a massive train fight.
Hmm.
That was pretty cool.
You had
the wrestler rock up again.
Yeah, Batista. he rocks up again. They have a big fight on the train, and then I think Bond ends up wrapping some chain around his neck and. Doesn't he say, like, he realizes he's about to be, like, dragged out of the plane or something, he just goes, oh, shit.
It's like, he wraps a rope around his neck, which is connected to a bunch of metal, like kegs, I guess, kegs.
Yeah.
And, like, the first one falls out and then pulls on the chain, which then pulls the second one out, and the rope's connected to the final one, so he sort of sees them all going. It was very, a Wile E. Coyote moment, wasn't it? Of sort of like you look down and you realise there's nothing beneath you. No, you just like hold up the sign going, oh no, and you just then fall.
Oh dear.
So that was good. I like this one because, I like this battle because the girl, the Bond girl, actually came out with a gun and started shooting him. And so like she got involved in it and she was a bit of a badass.
Yeah, no, that's always funny when you have the guy show, okay, so this is the clip, and this is how you load it, and this is the trigger, which is, oh, okay, so like this, you're like, haha, you already knew how to use a gun. How silly I feel for explaining it.
Yeah, so then they get rid of the wrestler guy, I guess he's dead now, we don't see him ever again, and then they just... getting their breath on the train, sitting next to her, and Bond's like, so, what should we do now? And then they have sex. Which actually, given everything, I think was like a good context for that to happen. Like, I thought that would be, you know, like, I did think they went through something together that I think brought them closer.
Save me once. Okay, I won't hate you anymore. Save me twice. Okay, I'll bang you.
Yeah. Like, the Skyfall sort of girl that he slept with, I remember being a bit weird. Like, she'd just gotten out of an abusive relationship and it was very quick. This one, I feel like at least they built a bit of tension and time. And I don't think that he saved her twice, but then in that last one, they both were... like, she saved him at one point, then he saved her. Like, it was a bit... you know, more of a partnership.
Yeah.
So I like that. I thought this was, I really like this Bond girl. I think she was great.
Now, what is their plan when they head to Christoph Waltz's
place? I have no idea. Like, so let's just rock up and check it out.
We'll just go into his secret hideout. Shoot our way past all of the guards, if they see us, which hopefully they don't. And then we'll find Christoph Waltz and kill him too. And then we'll just walk out.
The two things is, they didn't scout out a spot near the crater and go, how are we going to ambush them? How are we going to sneak in? Like, catch them by surprise. That wasn't the case. And the other thing was, they didn't even lie. Like, you know, Christopher was, why did you guys come here? Bond is like, to kill you. Like, okay, like, it's not like, Bond could have rocked up, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, they're closing down MI6, I hate the British government, I want to join with you guys now, can I, like, you know, like, I want to screw them, I'm terrorist now, I'm joining you guys. No ruse, no ambush, just, hey, let's rock up, tell them we're trying to kill them, they'll give us a room, we'll see how it works out.
So they do a great job of getting themselves captured. And it's at this point that Christoph Waltz says, haha, it has been me all along. The bad guy from the first film, the bad guy from the second film, the bad guy from the third film, they all work for me. And while I guess that's somewhat of an interesting reveal, I guess what made it less interesting was that you didn't see any clues or anything that was laid into each of these films which you could look back to, or as you go, ah, that's now a reveal. It was more just, I mean, you can just say that.
Yeah, and I think if this is the case too, you need Christoph Waltz to be the coolest villain of all of them, and he definitely wasn't cooler than Javier Bardem in the last movie.
Yeah, I mean, if he's supposed to be the biggest baddie of them all, you'd think he would have done something more dastardly in this film, or he would have had a more distinct personality trait. And I love Christoph Waltz. I think he's great, and he's played some great villains, but we didn't really even see him that much in this film until that reveal. It was only after that reveal where we find out. Yeah, we even see him in a few more scenes.
And I'm not buying it. I'm not buying its claim. Because I feel like Javier Bardem was such an agent of chaos. Like, he was such the Joker to the James Bond universe that I don't believe that he would have been able to be controlled by Christoph Waltz as a character. Like, I just don't believe that he was part of this bigger organization.
Well, Bond gets captured by the baddie of all baddies.
Yes.
And the baddie of all baddies has Bond in the baddie of all baddie situations.
A dentist chair.
How do bad guys keep letting Bond get out of these situations?
Yeah.
It's like, what is Bond known for, other than, you know, promiscuity? It's his gadgets. Surely you'd say, okay, like shoes. Maybe those are like exploding shoes. Or maybe that, you know, that bow tie. It's an exploding bow tie. Or maybe that watch is an exploding watch.
Yeah.
Here's what I didn't understand about that scene. So they talk about this and that. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make you so sad. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to do all this bad stuff. And then he has this thing that's, like, poking him and it's kind of torturing him. And then he says, look, I've got it lined up here. And if I poke it in here, it's going to hit something, which means you'll lose your memory. And we're all like, oh, no, if that happens, Bond won't be Bond. And then before Bond does the whole exploding watch thing to escape, they actually jab him there. But then Bond never loses memory. Afterwards, he's just fine.
I think they missed the spot.
They missed.
Yeah, I think that was it. So he was going to keep on doing that until they got the spot, I think.
It's around here somewhere. Look, I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm just an evil villain. I did the search on Wikipedia. It's around here. I'm just going to poke you until I get it.
I think that's the plan. So anyway, James Bond gets the watch off. He gives it to the girl. She slides it to, it's good that he's sent the girl over to him too. Like, so much broke James Bond's way in this situation. The chair moved the two hands near each other. She came over so he could hand over the watch. Anyway, yada yada yada. He slides the watch. She slides the watch across. Blows up the whole thing. They run out. People shooting at them. They get her just out of the way. Whole place blows up. Then back to London.
Everybody in this place is the worst shot. Before the podcast, I was telling you I went skeet shooting over Christmas. And I've only been skeet shooting 3 times, so I'm far from an expert. And the skeets get thrown out maybe at least 25 metres in front of you. And I was hitting maybe like 7 in 10. These people are all shooting at Bond, and nobody can hit anything. Are these people spending all of their time just talking about evil schemes and not practicing? Just send these people to like a skeet shooting or target range at least once. Maybe someone will finally kill Bond.
Yeah. He gets out, back to London. Plot has thickened because Bond found out something in the meteor crater. This is always a trademark. Bond films the villain, explains the whole plan to Bond so he can escape and know all the information that he needs to. And it turns out there's been... We've failed to mention, and I'll try to say this as briefly as possible, there's been some voting going on in England and various places because they're merging MI5 and MI6 and this new guy called C... is running things now, and he's got this big plan to merge all the intelligence data of 9 countries or 8 countries or something so they can all share their information and help combat terrorism really well. South Africa is the one holdout country. They need a unanimous vote to approve it. Fortunately for everyone, there's a massive terrorist attack in South Africa in Cape Town, wins them the votes they need. They're able to push it through. And there's a big, you know, Ralph Fiennes and this C guy have a big talk, and like, you know, Ralph Fiennes is sort of like, oh, this is at the cost of democracy. No one's been elected, something like that. How did you find the whole voting and stuff? That whole side of things?
Despite the kind of ridiculousness of that character that Ralph Fiennes is arguing with, there are some interesting themes that they're bringing up here. I guess, you know, what is Bond's place in a world where, you know, a lot of things are done by predator drones and, you know, online hacking and, you know, is there really a place for, in MI6, for, you know, an old school type spy like James Bond? And that's sort of an interesting question that they sort of pose but didn't really delve into. And the whole sort of information sharing thing, you know, it is relevant to modern society, but it was just kind of dealt in a simplistic way. So, you know, I didn't mind it being used as a part of the plot. I guess I think they could have done a little bit more with it.
I feel like where is James Bond's place in the world today is good. I felt like the whole democracy type angle and intelligence and who has your information was a bit them trying a bit too hard to say something. Like it's not a smart enough film to be able to make a nuanced point on that, so they look a bit silly trying to.
I agree. I guess when I said that he was like a ridiculous character, I just meant they paint it in a very black and white way, and for something that does require nuance in discussions in the actual world, didn't seem that nuanced in the film.
Yeah, I think the point of do we need spies like James Bond today is a good question for a James Bond movie. I think if they just focused on the James Bond sort of the 00 program, that may have been better than all this intelligence sharing. But anyway, turns out C's been working with Christoph Waltz the whole time because Christoph Waltz owns the company that does the data collection or the technology or something. So turns out Cindy was a bad guy too, and I guess, yeah, there's a final scene where Ralph Fiennes and C sort of have a bit of a fight, because M and Q are trying to shut down the system before it goes live at midnight. And then there's your second story, which is probably actually the main story, where James Bond is taken prisoner, taken to the old MI something building, and he follows graffiti arrows that leads into Christoph Waltz, who has set the building to blow up in 3 minutes and put James Bond, the new Bond girl, is hidden somewhere in that building. So he's been given the choice of you can die trying to save her or escape.
I feel like, or I guess 3 minutes.
Third option. Sorry?
I feel like 3 minutes is a rather generous time limit.
Oh, if it was 2 minutes, James Bond would have been screwed. They all would have died. If only he'd set the timer at 2 minutes, he would have won the movie. But yeah. Or yeah, there is the third option of saving her and escaping in the 3 minutes. Which... which is what happened. James Bond went with the third option.
But of course, Christoph Waltz has survived the explosion, survives all this. What does he end up doing? Like, shooting down his helicopter or something? Can't even remember.
Yeah, James Bond gets out of, escapes on the little boat out of the canal of the building. So him and the Bond girl are in the boat. And then he gets out his handgun and starts shooting at the helicopter that Christoph Waltz has escaped in. Hits the helicopter. Helicopter goes down. That's how he gets it.
And there's this, I guess their final confrontation is them on this bridge. And Christoph Waltz is like, shoot me, yeah, you know you want to.
And then the old Katniss Everdeen trick.
And then Bond.
End this now.
As if that's like a moral question that Bond has been tossing up. Like, how many people has Bond killed? Like, he's an assassin. He kills people like Christoph Waltz every day.
But the girl's watching him.
I didn't see how that was really like a moral quandary for Bond.
Yeah, I sort of feel like you've got to kill him. You can't make the mistake he made with you. Like, not just killing you when he had the chance. He's going to go to jail and spend every second thinking about how he's going to ruin your life and kill this girl. Like...
Yeah. But,
And he almost felt like something was going to happen because, like, Bond and the girl then walk off, hands being held, and Christoph Waltz is sort of looking at them, and you're sort of going, oh, no, what's he going to do? Is Bond going to regret, like, not killing him? But no, it must have just been Christoph Waltz looking off to go sort of like, oh, no, James Bond ended up in love. That's the last thing I wanted to see.
I can't believe that bomb explosion left me with one good eye.
Yeah.
You know, to see James Bond walk off with in love with this damn Bond girl.
Yeah.
So there you go. And then, I don't know, what's the... Leave me... Blah, 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 and end up driving off together in some cool car.
Yeah.
There's the end.
There you go. There's a movie. What score do you want to give it, Jonathan? What do you give this out of 10? What's your screen verdict?
My screen verdict. Really basic plot. A lot of plot holes. But good action scenes. Kind of stylish, cool cars. Just kind of what you want in a Bond film. It's kind of dumb. A lot of things didn't make sense. But it's just entertaining. It's kind of what I wanted, the kind of thing I want to see when I go watch a Bond film. So overall, I enjoyed it. I give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, for me, all my problems with the film I have said in this podcast already. There's a lot of plot holes and problems with it and things. But last night I saw it, and it was just the kind of movie I wanted to see. I was enjoying all the action scenes. I was enjoying Bond. It was fun. I really enjoyed myself watching it. I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10. It's not a great movie. It's nowhere near as good as Skyfall, which I loved. I thought that was really, really good. it was fun. It was entertaining. If you want to see a Bond film, if you like that sort of thing, you'll really enjoy this one. If you're expecting something special, don't bother.
Well, there you go. That's our screen verdict. Let's pop open a quick housekeeping.
Oh, I've got some housekeeping too. What's your housekeeping?
Well, I was just opening the segment.
Oh. Got some exciting news.
Matt's got some housekeeping for us.
Yeah, I've got some exciting news, Jonathan. I haven't told you yet. I am coming back to LA!
Hey! Whoop,
yes.
Whoop. That's the Matt alarm. Hit us up with the deets.
Okay, I don't have much planned yet. My mum was going, and I thought, oh, it'd be fun to do a bit of travelling with her, and there was a good airfare sale, so I thought I'd jumped on it. So I am getting into LA on the 25th of January.
Sweet. And how long are you going to be in LA for?
I fly out of January on the 8th of February.
Cool.
And nothing's, like, I'll probably go somewhere else at some point, but nothing's planned yet, so.
It would have been funny if you'd have said March, because I'm like, wow, I'm actually planning on being in Sydney in March.
Yeah.
I will actually be going to Sundance. We'll actually be in Utah from January 28 to 31, but that's only for 3 nights. I'll be in LA for the rest of the time.
Okay.
So, we'll get up to some Screen Verdict shenanigans in LA. Maybe I'll get up to some Screen Verdict shenanigans at Sundance as well.
Whoa!
So that's very exciting. All you LA Screen Verdict fans, we'll maybe organize an autograph session.
Yeah, an event.
A Screen Verdict event.
We'll go to the bookstore or something. You know that bookstore? That in downtown LA, where they do signings and readings and things like that. I wonder if we could get an event there.
The one bookstore.
It's okay, just called it's like the Lost Bookstore. It was the bookstore in Gone Girl, where they have sex in the bookstore at the beginning of the movie. Do you remember that?
So it's an over 18 event.
Well, we might be having sex. But...
The precedent has been set.
Yeah. Anyway, there we go. Did you have any housekeeping?
Not really, other than we hope you had a great 2015. We hope you have an even better 2016. The weekly podcast has become more of a tri-weekly podcast. So I think Screen Verdict has historically been very consistent. So... My New Year's resolution is to get back on that trademark Screen Verdict consistency. We're going to be hitting you up with plenty of new podcasts, including Master of None, The Good Dinosaur,
Star Wars. We've got to do a Star Wars
Best of 2015. So a bunch of good podcasts coming up.
We've got our SV Awards. We've just extended the awards calendar a little bit, so we've got time to watch all the movies from 2015.
Yeah, some of them are released in January in Australia, so they'll be coming in a little bit of time.
Yeah, we're not like the Critics' Choice Awards. Did you hear the Critics' Choice Awards?
No, what did they do?
They didn't nominate Star Wars because they announced the nominations before it was released. Then it was so huge, they just decided to add it.
That opens up sort of the whole Pandora's box of doing what you think is correct or abiding by the rules. There you go. So, if you have any thoughts on your best of 2015, let us know at facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast and...
Yeah, Movie Studios, send in your campaigns now. Now is the time to be sending us the DVDs and the... gift bags and the whatever.
Yeah, and we will not be taking that into account in our decision making, but if we haven't seen it, it may it may encourage us to try and squeeze that in before the voting.
DVD, yes. If it's a rubbish movie, we can't help you. But
So there you go, guys. Hope you enjoyed this podcast on Spectre. Look forward to many more podcasts in 2016. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.